WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Love at first sight, love that lasts. This week on the Lutheran Hour.
Has anyone looked at us and immediately there was love for a lifetime? Yes. That's the beginning of our life with God.
Do you believe in love at first sight? God certainly does. It's the kind of love He has for you in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Dr. Dan Pavela tells us about it today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you once again here in our 92nd season of broadcasting. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Dr. Dan Pavela is an author and professor of theology at Concordia University in Mequon, Wisconsin. Now with a message titled, Love at First Sight, Love That Lasts. Here is Dr. Pavela.
God's word for us today is the story of Jacob and Rachel meeting for the first time, falling in love at first sight. We hear Genesis 29, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Love at first sight. Isn't that a wonderful idea? It could be simple. You saw that car on the car lot, and without touching it, you said, "That's the one." You saw the puppy at the animal shelter and said, "You're coming home with me." Love at first sight could be even more, though, than a car or puppy. It's a staple of movies and novels. A couple finds themselves on opposite sides of a crowd. They look across the room. They lock eyes with each other. Questions race through their minds. Who is this? I wonder, what's his name? Where has she been all my life? They need answers, so they start to walk towards each other. Before they say hello, they both know this is the one. And that's the story they're going to tell their children for decades to come. Love at first sight. Makes for a great story. But does it ever really happen? Do people actually fall in love at first sight and stay in love for the rest of their lives? It's a great start to a story, and we're hoping it'll last. And in our text today, we have a love at first sight beginning as Jacob and Rachel first meet. Jacob had no doubt Rachel was the one for him. He was glad to work for 7 years for the chance to marry her. And as our text says, those 7 years seemed like only a few days because of his love for Rachel. What a beginning to their story. It has living happily ever after written all over it. But remember, this isn't a TV movie. This is the story of two actual people. That makes us wonder, could we ever have that life? Could we begin a relationship on that level, love at first sight? Has anyone looked at us and immediately there was love for a lifetime? The wonderful answer to all those questions is yes. Someone has looked at us with love at first sight. That's the beginning of our life with God. He's made us carefully and intentionally so that we can say with Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works." God created us as his personal handiwork. Because of him, we can say that we are wonderfully made. As our creator, God is the Father who loves us. His is the first sight of love. Even before we were formed in the womb, he knew all our coming days and deeds. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." The love of the Father for us is not just when we're newborn infants. It extends throughout our lives. The love of God continues even when God knows every detail of our lives, past, present, and future. A great example of that is when the rich young man came to Jesus asking what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus reminded him of the commandments, and the man claimed he'd done all of them all his life. Then comes a striking verse. Mark 10, verse 21, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. The rich man walked away sadly, for he had great riches. Jesus knew that this man would reject him, and yet Jesus loved him. The man's life, entangled with riches, was not beautiful in itself, but Jesus loved him despite the hold riches had on him. His wealth was crushing the eternal life out of him. But that didn't alter the love Jesus had. This young man came up with his claim of complete obedience, and while Jesus could have destroyed that claim, he looked at him with love. We might have a measure of love at first sight when we know nothing of the person we just met. But Jesus knew every action of this young man and yet loved him. The young man walked away sorrowful, for he had great riches. His riches he had counted, but the love of Jesus he left unknown. But the failure of the young man is thankfully not our story or the story of Jacob and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel at the very start of their life together and continued in that love. We have an even better beginning to our life story with God. He's formed us with love, foreseen every day we will have. All our steps are under this banner: love at first sight, love now, and love to the very last light. So if we start with love at the first sight, can we just fast forward to the end and say they lived happily ever after? We'd love to do that, but almost always there's a problem with the story of love. That car you loved isn't quite as lovable after making payments for years. That cute puppy has now torn apart three pillows and a slipper. It's more serious with that couple that fell into love at first sight. In the beginning, they have wonderful days together. It's all going well, but we're still holding our breath. It won't be this easy. From somewhere in the past, there's trouble coming. It's usually the ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend. We thought they were long gone, but at the worst possible moment, when our happy couple is about to take a huge step forward, the ex-boyfriend shows up. The mood is broken. An argument follows. Angry words are said. It looks like it's all over. Now, of course, it's just a story, and the story's writers need this conflict so they can bring the couple back together later. But in real life, the past can certainly come back to destroy a perfect beginning. That was certainly the case for Jacob. Jacob worked 7 years to get to marry Rachel. It should have been a perfect wedding, but it wasn't. It was about as bad as any wedding could be. Jacob married the wrong woman. That's a bad wedding. Rachel's father, Laban, switched Rachel for his older daughter, Leah. And Jacob unwittingly married Leah and the next morning realized what had happened. He demanded Laban make this right, but Laban said it was the custom that the older sister should be married first. And so Leah, the older, had to be his bride first. But Laban said that after the present week, he would allow Rachel to marry Jacob. What a way to start a marriage. While marrying the wrong person was a new experience for Jacob, deception in the darkness of a tent was nothing new to him. That was the past that came back to strike him. Years earlier, Jacob had stolen his father's blessing, stealing it from his brother Esau. By imitating his brother in the darkness of his father's tent, he took Esau's blessing, and immediately after, he fled from his family. He gained the blessing, but he would never see his father and mother again. What a price to pay for that lie. Besides the loss of seeing his family again, that same past came back again on his wedding day. Once again, as he had deceived his father in the darkness of the tent, now he was deceived himself. Are we doomed to have our past return to ruin our best days? In fact, is every good day just an invitation for the past to find us again? If we believe that, what a sad way to live. It's true that a measure of what we've done can return to affect the present. If you're famous as the town gossip, I doubt anyone is going to trust you with news of any worth. But will we be revisited by every wrong we've done? No, the blessing of God is that when He forgives us, our sins are cleared away, washed by the blood of Jesus. John reminds us that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Having cleansed us, the Father doesn't unearth those forgiven sins just to stain us again. God sees us as perfectly clean. The past sins we dread are gone from His sight. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, Paul describes how God sees us as a bridegroom sees his perfect bride. Jesus cleanses us so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is how Jesus sees us always. It's not a first glance that'll change when the truth about us comes out. God has already seen the entire course of our lives, but he endures with us through every turn. We don't need to fear that every good thing will be stained with an ancient wrong. Each day can be a gift of God, a present from the bridegroom who loves us from first glance to last. And so, back to our story, love at first sight might have to weather an invasion from the past, but despite that, the story needs to go on. Jacob married Rachel, and thereby began a very complicated life with the two sisters. As we would expect, the rivalry between Leah and Rachel continued for years, and Jacob was right there in the middle of it. I can't imagine any of us wishing to have the lives of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. Jacob is torn back and forth between the two sisters. Wouldn't we wish for Jacob and Leah and Rachel a simpler life? Who wants to live that way, tugged at, back and forth? Shouldn't love at first sight be just one love? It should be simple. But real life is often torn between two loves. It's like the challenge the prophet Elijah said to the people of Israel when they were torn between serving the idol Baal and the true God. Elijah challenged them this way, saying in 1 Kings chapter 18, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Elijah proposed that two sacrifices and altars be built, and then this contest would begin. He said, "You call upon the name of your God, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." Well, we know how this challenge turned out. The prophets of Baal called and shouted all day, but nothing happened. No one heard them. No idol delivered them. No fire fell to save them. But at the end of the day, Elijah prayed briefly, and God's fire fell, consuming the sacrifice, the wood, and even the stones of the altar. God looked upon Elijah's simple prayer with power. It didn't take a whole day of useless asking, but only a prayer heard by a caring God. One short prayer, and it was done. With this one display of power, God demonstrated his divine nature so that the people could see without question who was God. As they had said, "The God who answers by fire, he is God." See what God has done and renew your first love. Is that how God draws us to himself each day, doing a miracle that can't be denied? Is that how he shows his love at first sight by doing miracles that overwhelm us? Well, yes and no. God certainly can do astonishing miracles, and we might be tempted to say, "Show us a miracle, and we'll believe you. Show us a miracle, it'll be love at first sight." But is it really our place to challenge God that way? And would we be satisfied with just one miracle? I'm afraid that we'd want to see another, and then another, and each one bigger and bigger. When would it stop? We might promise to fall in love with him by seeing just one more miracle, but I think we'd put off love and always ask for more. It's not our first sight of God that brings us to the love of God. Our relationship is based on this. God has seen us in love and has first come to us. It's his lasting love that chooses to see us, and his loving sight of us shows us what love is. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." There are three key moments in the life of Jesus that show his love, and these moments build our love of him. Surprisingly, each of these is a moment in near darkness. Sadly, Jacob was deceived in the darkness of the tent, but we're going to three dark places to see the truth of God's love at first sight. Let's go to Christmas Eve. Look into the darkness of the stable. See the manger in which Jesus is laid. Join the shepherds who raced to find him there, trusting that this simple infant was the Savior of the world. In the darkness of a stable, the love of God was shining. In that darkness, there's no deception. We don't have to imitate being someone other than who we are. We're not there to steal a blessing from someone else. Instead, here's the good news. A Savior has come for all the world. God's blessings came to everyone, shining from the center of a dark stable. This is love's first look. After the Christmas stable, we go to an even greater darkness. Come to the cross where Jesus is dying during the 3 hours of darkness. We join so many others there, amazed to see the wonder of a God who chooses to die for the world. The innocent man dies for the sins of the guilty. The Son is given to death because of the love of the Father, love even for those who crucify his Son. Look into the darkness of that afternoon and see God's love that covers us from birth to death. It is love that lasts. But 3 days later, we have one more look into the darkness. Come to the empty tomb and stoop to look into its darkness. There's no one there. In the dark, see only the empty grave clothes. He is gone, replacing death with life and fulfilling his promise to rise again. He emptied the tomb, leaving its darkness so we could see him in the light. That empty tomb is a final expression of his love, love we know by the sight of the empty grave. In all these ways, God shows his love for us. He has loved us from his first thought and his first sight of us, and he has given us Jesus' life so that we can know his love. In love, God speaks to us, assuring us that his love is eternal. His love for us and the love he creates in us, these are our first love, and they will be our lasting love. Jacob stole a blessing in a dark tent and was himself deceived years later. But we live in the light of God's full sight of us. We have the love of God stretched over us for all time. His is a love from first glance to eternity, a love that starts, a love that lasts. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us from before the foundation of the world. Continue to show us your love and assure us that your love will bring us to eternal life with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour, and that was guest speaker Dr. Dan Pavla. More from him later, along with Lutheran Hour speaker Dr. Michael Ziegler, as they discuss Dr. Pavla's book, Patience and Perfection. By the way, you'll find free resources, archived audio, and more at our website, LutheranHour.org.
My God with thousand tongues, my heart which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I might be, what great things God has done for me. Creatures that have breath and motion, that throng the earth, the sea, the sky, come share with me my heart's devotion. Help me to sing God's praises high. My utmost powers can never quite declare the wonders of his might. Creator, humbly I implore you to listen to my earthly song until that day when I adore you together with the angel throng and learn with choirs of heaven to sing eternal anthems to my King.
That was Christian Dentley. You're listening to The Lutheran Hour.
Life can be hard, but with daily devotions from Lutheran Hour Ministries, you can receive a message of biblical, Christ-centered hope each day. When you subscribe to Daily Devotions, we trust you'll be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. Let Lutheran Hour Ministries join you on your daily journey to grow in Christ. Leave us your email at lhm.org/subscribe. That's lhm.org/subscribe. Be sure to share with a friend, too.
Joining us now, here's Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
So, Dan, you've written a book that we've talked about a little, Patience and Perfection. And in the book, you're helping us read that account by exploring themes or patterns of how God works, not only how he's worked in the past, but how he's working today in our lives. This week, I thought we could talk about the theme of it's not the first, but the second that counts. And that sounds a lot like Jacob's story. So tell us a little bit about that pattern.
Well, it's a pattern I think we've probably all experienced. And if I could just start, I'll just pitch a few examples. And I know you and I'll have many more. You know, that first one, it wasn't much. But the second was better.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for instance, the first car that I had was not much. I won't defame the company that produced it, but it really was bad, really bad. And in general, it's a, yeah, the second is better. With caution. Mm-hmm. I've actually had some folks who say, well, I'm the firstborn in the family. Does that mean I'm nothing? No. You are very valuable. And I did have one lady ask me, does that mean that I need to get rid of my first husband because the second one's going to be so much better? I said, no. Let's not take this too far.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As a general rule, there is a biblical pattern that it's not Esau, the firstborn, but Jacob, whom I love. There's a classic one.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go on and such. And maybe the bedrock on this one, it's not the first Adam, but it's the second Adam that's going to carry the day and carry the world as our Savior.
There seems to be a close tie with the instant perfection and patient relationship theme, too, because so many of the seconds in the biblical narrative are the result of human error or human sin or mistake. Right. So obviously the Garden of Eden, there's a big mistake there. There's a big error. But also, you know, Esau, he despises his birthright. He sells it for a bowl of stew. So kind of like God's making do, so to speak, with the second, yeah, with Jacob. And Jacob, so he's a piece of work too, but God's going to work
right,
patiently work with him.
Exactly. And think of even, well, this is just a snippet of Jacob's wedding experience. Well, it wasn't the first, but the second,
yeah,
that really counted. And you talk about a wedding that had some bad moments. That has to take the cake when you marry the wrong woman.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've seen some marriage difficulties. You know, the cake didn't turn out well. Well, yeah, what's that compared to I married the wrong person? Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what the theme is telling us, it's one, on the one hand, it's just an observation like we were doing before about how some things don't quite work out the way we expect them at first. But there's also this assurance that when things don't work out as expected, and you're going to be prepared because life's just not going to happen the way you expect it. Going back, mm-hmm, to the river analogy, there's going to be surprising turns and twists. But in the midst of that, God is faithful. God is patient, and he'll work with us, even give us, you know, the second Adam and a new creation, a new life in Christ.
You just said it so beautifully. It harnesses that idea of patience in that first. Mm. So if you step into the first experience, you know, again, it's first car, first job, whatever it is, you probably want that to last about, I don't know, half an hour, you know, and be done. And would you like to check in with God, say, okay,
yeah,
I'm in it. You know, that first might last a bit longer,
right,
than that. And then eventually the second comes. And we all, well, on this side of the experience, we all know that. It's that Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's a great first, second sequence that God has in mind for us.
I've been reading ahead, getting ready for these upcoming sermons in Genesis. And there's that moment after Jacob serves his second 7-year sentence to, yeah, pay for, you know, his second wife that he wasn't expecting. He tries to leave. He asks Laban, yeah, if he can leave, but no, God's got another 6 years for him there. So again, it's just, he did not expect it was going to be 20 years. You know, when Rebecca sent him, she's like, hey, go there for a little bit. I'll send for you.
Yeah.
Come right back home.
No homecoming. Not at any time you could imagine.
Yeah. Well, so what does this tell us about what we can expect, how God's going to be at work in our lives?
You know, I think there is a reassurance that the first can lead to a second. God is not done with you because you're in this position, this time. And I know that you wanted to make that change right now, but maybe there's a purposefulness to where you are, and then be prepared for the surprise of God. And the next step is where he takes you. And it might be what you've been praying for. You know, maybe you've been asking for that change and you have it very clearly in mind, where it might be something altogether different. And you'll look back and say, I never knew I would be here. I never knew I would love this new job and work and all the things God has in mind for us to either show us by faith from a distance or just say, trust me. Patient relationship. Trust me, that second step is coming. And ultimately it is, you know, we could just bundle all of this life together now as a first step. And the resurrection to eternal life is the ultimate second step. And I don't think we need to go any further. We are there, happy, done.
Yeah, that's a great insight. There's a reason why we call this mortal life. It's not yet true life. We are not to the second step yet.
Exactly. And so right now we're okay. You know, I heard, I'm sorry, I don't know the source of this, but I heard this as a response. There was an elderly lady who had a lot of health issues. And when you asked her, how are you doing? Knowing that she had many pains and ailments, she said, there's nothing wrong with me that the resurrection won't cure. And I thought, you know, that's a great, great response. They might still be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the resurrection's coming.
Well, thank you, Dan, for being with us and your labor to help us see how all the scriptures are written to give us hope.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Now, Dr. Pavla invites us to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Next week, meet the dysfunctional family that became a nation and the family God chose in order to bless all families through Christ. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. What a beautiful Sunday on the way. Light northeast winds, sunny skies. Highs will top out near 80. For the overnight, clear skies, quite cool. Temperatures dropping to the upper 40s to lower 50s. On Monday, sunny again, highs near 80. Higher work health insurance costs again. Call 800-693-9308 to find lower rates. Right now, it's 70.
80s, 90s, and more.
Max FM. Don't wish it away. Don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. Before you and me run to the place in our hearts where we hide. And I guess that's why they call it the blues. Time on my hands, the time spent with you. Loving like children, living like love. Space, picture my face in your hands. Live for each second without hesitation, and never forget I'm your man. Wait on me, girl. Cry in the night if it helps.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant joining you off 11:30 a.m. with Billy Joel on Max FM.
What it takes. You only hear Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So how take you apart anymore.
every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your
turn
eyes.
Turn around.
Eclipse of the heart.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. Here is Heart, Never on Max FM.
Somebody won't let you in. One chance, one love, your chance to let me. time of my life. No, I never felt this way before.
Never felt.
Yes, I swear it's the truth, and I hope it.
'90s and more, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant hanging out with you on Sunday morning. Don't forget, we have the Sunday market going on in downtown Baraboo until 2 p.m. Also, the Packers are playing at noon. We'll have Hanging with Havel tomorrow morning right around 8:30. And the Brewers will be playing this afternoon their final regular season game after pulling off a shutout yesterday. I'll be back with you at 4. Coming up after 12 will be Kid Kelly and Backtracks USA 80s on Max FM.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all.